Okay, we're going to be here on the top of Tzadi Chenim and Aleph. We'll continue with the sugya that we left off with, which is how does the Gemara reconcile between the position of Rav Nachman and our Mishnah. Rav Nachman believes that even in the face of a Bari and Shema, we don't look and say, oh, the Bari, whoever makes the definitive claim, we go with them, but rather we say, Motzi Mechaver Elav Araya, that we leave the money Becheskat Marei, wherever it is now, and if you want to remove money from another individual, you must bring a proof. Simply making a Bari or definitive claim against the Shema, the maybe of the other individual, that's not enough. But it seems from our Mishnah that that is the case, that Bari versus Shema, we go with the Bari. When someone has a definitive claim and someone has a maybe claim, then we go along with the definitive claim. And we do force a Shavua on the person who says Shema. So Rav Nachman, how does he reconcile with our Mishnah? So the Gemara said, Kishesh Esek Shavua Benehem, that when there's some other Shavua, there's a need for a Shavua here, outside of the Bari and Shema. And what's that case? The Gemara says, Esek Shavua is like Rava. Rava says that if someone makes a claim, for instance, Manele biyadecha, that I had lent you 100 zuz, v'halo omer, en lecha biyadi, ele chamishim. He says, no, first of all, yes, you do have 50. V'ashar en yodeh, on the remainder, I don't know. So on 50 of them, he admits to whatever the claimant says. On the other 50, he says en yodeh. So on the second 50, we have a claim of Bari and Shema. So now, but Nachman says, in that instance, I agree that we go with the Bari. Why? Because the first 50 that he admits to now obligates him in a Shavua, the Shavua of Modeh B'Miksat. Since he's admitted to half of the claim, the Torah says, by Modeh B'Miksat, person has to take a Shavua. But now the problem is, Mitoch Shen Yecholi Shavua Mishalem, because now he can't take a Shavua. Because yes, he could take a Shavua that the first 50 he owes him, but he cannot say about the remaining 50 that he does not own him, because he says, Ani Yodeh, I don't know. So even though, because he is obligated a Shavua because of the Hoda'ah, therefore we say by the Shema, his maybe in the second half of the loan, we say that obligates him to pay from the Bari and Shema, from the definitive claim versus the maybe claim, but it really has to do because of his Shema. His maybe over here does not allow him to take a Shavua that he's obligated to take, and since he does not take the Shavua, he must pay. So now the Gemara says, let's explain our Mishnah. So the Gemara says, based on that, how do we explain our Mishnah with Esek Shavua Benem? So the Gemara says, Resha Bebet, the Resha of our Mishnah in the cases of where it's Shula and Shura, right? It's sometimes it was rented and lent to him. There's one para either for the same day, half of each day, or for multiple days. In that case, it has to be done with two animals. Why? So what's the case? I gave you over two cows. Half the time for Lent, and half the time for a rental. Inami. Or the case is chad yom b'shelo v'chad yom b'shirut. Or the second case in our Mishnah, which is also part of that Resha, which is that these two parot that I gave you, one day is lent and one day is rented to you. Umeitu tarvayu, and they both die. Bidan shela, right? So they say, he says, listen, they both died, and they died while you were borrowing them. If they died while you're borrowing them, now you owe me two cows. Vamalei shoel, and the borrower responds to him, chade in. True. One of them I agree with you, Bidan Shela Meta. That one for sure died on the day of Shela, and I owe you that cow. Vidach lo yadana. On the other cow, I do not know. Ibidan Shela Meta, Ibidan Tzchirut Meta. I don't know if he died when it was borrowed or when it was rented. Mitoch Shen Yacholi Shava. Over here, again, it's a case of Modib Miksat. He says two cows died while you were borrowing them. And he admits, yes, one of the cows I did die when I borrowed it. So that's called Modeh B'Miksat. If it's Modeh B'Miksat, he has to take a Shavua. But the Shavua Modeh B'Miksat says that I owe you no more than what I've admitted to. That he can't say over here, because with the second half, with the other cow, he says, any other day, I don't know. So he can't take the Shavua. And since he can't take the Shavua over here, so Mitok Shein Yachol Shavua Mishalem, he has to pay. Rashi points out over here that it has to be that both cows die. It can't be that one cow died and the other one is still alive, because then what he can do is say, take the cow that's alive and say, listen, this cow that I admit to, Halach, take it. And there's a opinion that if one says Halach by Modeh B'Miksat, you're not chayav a Shavua. So the problem with one of the cows still being alive is that then he could just hand him the cow and say, this is yours, right? You have no more claim against me. If he does that, then he removes the Modeh B'Miksat, then he won't have to take a Shavua. So for that reason, the Gemara says here, both cows died. If both cows died, then he has no ability to say, Halach, just take it. Here it is, take it. It's off my hands. So therefore, he is stuck with a modem mixat. He's a partial admission, and a partial admission, he's got to take a shavua. And since he can't take the shavua, he's got to pay. Now, b'seifa, the second case in the Mishnah, or the latter part of our Mishnah, we'll have to explain b'gimel with three parot. Damale, because he's going to say to him, gimel parot natati lecha. I gave you three animals. Now, the second case in the Mishnah, if you remember, is a case where he gave him two parot. One he lent him, and one he rented to him. So here, the Gemara is going to say, according to Rav Nachman, who needs an esek shavua, we're going to have to set up the case that it's actually three parot. Why? He says, Gimel parot natacha, beit, bet b'sheila, b'chat b'schirut. Gave you two of them I lent to you, and one of them I rented to you. Umeitu hani tarte d'sheila. Two of them died. And he says, listen, the two that died were the ones that you borrowed. Ramele Shoel, in. You're right. Chada d'sheila meita. I agree with you. One of them was definitely one of the ones that I borrowed. Idach le'yodana. The other one that remains, I don't know. Id d'sheila meita. That one that died was the one that I borrowed, and the one that remains is the one that I rented, or the one that I rented died, and the one that remains is the one that I borrowed. Again, he is a modem mixat. He's a modem mixat in the sense that he agrees that at least one of the cows, I mean, by definition, in the case it's that way, that at least one of the cows is a cow of Sheila. If that's the case, he is a modem mixat. He's a partial admission over here for the two, of the claim of two. He's admitting to one. Now he has to take his shavua. Problem is, in his shavua, he's going to have to say that I don't owe you any more than this one cow. And that he can't say, because on the second cow, he just doesn't know whether it was the socher, or the one that was niskar, or the one that was nish'al, the one that was lent or rented to him. He doesn't know which one died. And if that's the case, he can't take his shavua. And since he can't take a shavua, and since we have a bari claim by the to'ain and a shema claim by the defendant, we're going to say go with the bari and shema, and we're going to have to pay. And that's how we explain the Mishnah according to Rav Nachman. Ule Rami Bar Chama, according to Rami Bar Chama Damar, who says, Dalet Shomrim Tzrichim Kfira B'Miksat V'Hoda B'Miksat, that when it comes to Shavuat HaShomrim, not only do we require a Isak Shvuah, like Rav Nachman explains over here, but rather we need modem mixat and kfira. In order to be chayav, you need a real modem mixat, which is modem mixat means both a admission and a kfira and a denial. So now, according to Rami Rechama, you'll need Mishkach LaReisha, the first two cases, which are the case are which he borrowed an animal part day for borrowed, part day rented, or one day rented, one day or lent, and the Seifa case where it's two parot, one of them is lent and one of them is rented, that'll have to be with four. So that's Mishkach Reisha B'Gimel will be three cows, and the Seifa B'Dalet. Reisha B'Gimel, what's the case of the Reisha with three cows? Darmalei, Gimel Parot Natati Lecha. I gave you three cows. Palge de Yom B'Sheila, Palge de Yom B'Schirut. Half the day they were lent to you, and half the day they were rented to you. Inami, Chade Yom B'Sheila, Chade Yom B'Schirut. One day was lent, one day was rented. Umeitu Gimel. So Kulhu Bidan Shelan. He says, listen, all three of them died, and they died while you were borrowing them, and now you have to pay me three cows. Vamalei Shuel. Chada lo yadvrim olam. First of all, number one, there were no three cows in our transaction. There were only two cows. Lo yadvrim olam. Never happened, one of them. Chada in Bidan Shelan Metam. One of them, I admit, died during the time that I was borrowing it. So now we have Kfira, which is lo yadvrim olam. One of them never happened. Number two, I have a hoda'ah. I have an admission over here because I admit that one of them, the she'ila, was during the time that it was borrowed. And then the third cow, right, he says, I don't know. V'idach lo yadan ibidan she'ila meita ibidan schirut meita. And I don't know if it died when I rented it, when I was renting it, or when I borrowed it. Again, here, since he can't take a shvua, he has to pay. Meaning here that we have modu mikzat, we have a hoda'ah, and we have a kfira. We have both aspects here. On the third cow, which he says, I don't know, on that cow, he can't take a shvua. Since he can't take a shvua on that last cow, then we has to take, he has to pay for it. So here's the case of Bari and Shema. It makes a definitive claim that, yes, all three of them were Sheila. The other individual says, one yes, one no, and one maybe. So in that maybe, since he can't take the shvua, he's got to pay for it. Now, so Rashi explains over here that what Rami Chama's position is that you need a hoda'ah and a kfira. And even though it seems like the Shvuat HaShomrim should stand independently, nevertheless, according to Rami Bar Chama, there is the pasuk of kihuzeh, which demands modeh b'miktzat, that demands that there is a modeh b'miktzat in order to be chayv shvuah, is actually found in the middle of Parshat Shomer Chinam. Since it's found in the middle of Parshat Shomer Chinam, we actually have a machlokus about its position. One position in the Gemara in Baba Kama, which we saw together in Padaf Kuf Zayin, is that Eruv Parshiot Katuv Kan, that there's actually a mix of parshiot, that a kihuzeh is actually an independent statement. Kihuzeh, modem mixat, it really refers to malver or halva'ah, deals with loans. When it comes to shomrim, the kihuzeh is not even relevant. It doesn't belong here. So the kihuzeh, modem mixat, that's relevant for loans. When we're talking about shvat shomrim stand independent of this mode b'miktzat. Then, on the other hand, there's another opinion who says no, that ki hu zeh that's found in the middle of Parshat Shomer Chinam actually belongs there, and that the demand for mode b'miktzat is for any shvua, whether it's a shvua that has to do with a loan or a shvua to do shomrim. We need mode b'miktzat in order to have any chiyuv shvua by shomrim. So then Rami Bar Chama comes on top of that and says, well, when it says ki hu zeh, the meaning of ki hu zeh is not only that you have to be modeh b'miktzat, it also means that if you have to be kofer miktzat, you also have to deny a portion. And that's the position that's being presented here, according to Rashi, of Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama believes, number one, that the ki hu zeh in Parshat Shomer Chinam refers not only to halva'ah, to loans, but also to shomrim. And therefore, there's a demand for modem miksat by shomrim in order to be mechayev them a shavua. And on top of that, Rami Chama demands that you have not only modem miksat, but you also have to have a kfira b'miksat. And Rashi points out over here that saying any yodea is not a kfira. Saying I don't know is not a denial. Kfira means literally a denial. So that's why, according to Rami Bar Chama, we need three or four parot here. We need one part to be the hoda'a. We need one part to be the kfira. And we need one part to be the any yodea, as opposed to the first opinion, or the first way we described the Mishnah in Rav Nachman, where we only needed two parot, because over there the demand was simply that you have a hoda b'miktzat. Over here he needs an additional kfira. The additional par provides the kfira, the denial, by saying lo hiyu dvarim mi'olam. And in the second half of the Mishnah, we're going to need dalid parot. Why? Seifa b'dalid, amar lei dalid parot natati lecha. I give you four parot. Gimel b'sheila, three of them I lent to you. Chada b'skrut, one of them I rented to you. Umei tu hanach gimel d'sheila. Three of them die, and he says, the three that died, those are the ones that I lent to you. Barmalei Shuel. The Shuel says no. First of all, Chado lo adivrim meolam. One, we need a kfira. So one of them never happened. Chada in the Shela Meta. One of them, you're right. It has to be that it was the Shela died. That he, I mean, by matter of fact, it has to be that way. Right? That one of the Shela died. V'idach lo yadan. And the last one, I don't know if it was the Schirut one or the Shela one that died. The Schirut Meta, or the Kaim Shela, and the Shela one still alive, or the Shela Meta, the Kaim Schirut. Again, here, now he has an obligation to take a shvuah because he has modeh b'miktzat, kfira b'miktzat, and he has a safek, which he can't take the shvuah on. And since that, mitoch sheni yachod yishavah mishalem, since he can't take a shvuah, he must pay. So now the Gemara continues with the Mishnah. Zeh omer shula, v'zeh omer shechura. They both make definitive claims. The lender says that it was the borrowed one that died. V'zeh omer shechura. And the other individual, the defendant, says, no, it was the rented one that died. Then ishava socher, shechura meita. He has to take a shvua that it was the shechura that meita. V'amai? Why should it be that way? Mashatanu lo hodu lo. What he made a claim against him, lo do, he never made an admission to. Meaning that he's saying shula, and the other one's saying shchura. They're talking apples and oranges. So why should there be any demand for a shvua over here? So amara ula ayadei gilgul. That really we're talking about here is gilgul shvua. Damale. Ishtabali, he can say to him, listen, okay, let's agree that it's like you said about the shchura. Ishtabali eza mihat kedarka meto. First of all, take a shvua that it died a natural death. There wasn't a pshia here, and there wasn't any other problem, and it died a natural death. And umiga, once you're taking that shvua, mishtabat kedarka meto, mishtabat nami the shchura meto, then also take a shvua that the shchura one died, that the additional shvua that we're going to add on here is that if you're already going to take a shvua that it died a natural death, also take a shvua to uphold your position that it's really the rented one that died. So the shvua that's being imposed here is a shvua that is b'dan al yedei gilgul. It's not a shvua, the ikar shvua that's being demanded of the individual here. And as Rashi points out over here, right, the idea of mashatono lo lohodulo, wait, we just set up our Mishnah, we just explained our whole Mishnah here that we're talking about Asik Shvua, that we're talking about a case of modem miktzat. So Rashi says, wait, that fact that we set up the Mishnah that way, that was only according to Rav Nachman. But according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda, right, they look at the Mishnah in its form, its regular form. They don't add this modem miktzat or this Asik Shvua over here. They look at it as if it's written. So that's what the Gemara's question over here is. If there's if we're looking for a shvua over here, how could it be? There's no modem miksat. There's no claim and denial that relate to each other, according to Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Yes, according to Rav Nachman, we already created a case of Modi Miksat outside of this, but that's not the position of Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna. And the answer at the end in the Gemara's case is, wait, we don't hold of Rami Bar Chama. We don't hold of Rami Chama that demands that a Shomer take a Shvu'ah of Mode b'miktzat, meaning that the way Rashi learns, and this is very important, we saw this back in the Gemara Baba Kama, it was a three-way machlokot, which we're going to discuss in a minute, but Rashi believes that, according to those opinions that disagree here with Rami Bar Chama, they believe Eruv Parshiot Katuvkan, that Mode b'miktzat, the Parsha Mode b'miktzat, has nothing to do with Parshat HaShomrim. That means that Mode b'miktzat is only a demand when it comes to halva, when it comes to a loan. When it comes to a loan, then we demand Mode b'miktzat to Michayev HaShvua, but when it comes to Shomrim, you're Chayev HaShvua for any claim that you make. Any claim that you make, if you want to be patur as a shomer, you have to take a shvuah. Nothing to do with modim miksat. So over here, the demand here of the shvuah is meita kedarko, that you said, okay, it died natural death, and it was chura. And Ochanami, I can't make a claim. I can't force you into a shvuah that it was the shura, not the shula, because we both make a bar, you're making a definitive claim. So the only thing I can tell you is you're a shomer. Take a shvuah that it died a natural death. Once I have you in the shvuah, we know minat Torah that you're allowed to do gilgul shvuah, you're allowed to add on another shvuah. Once I'm there, I'm going to force you to take a shvuah also that it was this shura that it was meita. But this is according to Rashi, the way the Gemara sets up over here, is that this part of the Gemara is discussing Rav Yehuda and Rav Huna's position. And Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda's position is, number one, that there is no modu miksat in our Mishnah. Number two is, we don't hold like Rami Bar Chama that demands that to be ordered to be chayav a shvuah to shomrim, you need modu miksas. We don't simply know. Even without modu miksas, there's a chiyuv of shvurat ha shomrim. And therefore, over here, the only shvuah that you're chayav is the shvuah of meita kedarka. And once you have that shvuah of meita kedarka, we can add on the additional shvuah of shchura. That is the position of Rashi. If you remember from the Gemara in Baba Kama, Kuf Zayin, actually was a three-way machlokas. It was Rashi's position, which we just stated. And then there's the position of the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as the position of the Riva. Now, the Riva believes, like Rashi, the Gemara over there says that when it comes to Modu B'miktzat, or the reasoning behind Modu B'miktzat, that only has application by Milveh. It does not, or it seems to be, the Girsa in the Gemara does not have to have application by Shomrim, because there, Meyuz and Meyuz. Over there, he's always Meyuz, which sounds like you're always Chayav Eshvu'ah by the Shomrim. So now, the Riva learns that to be only in a case of Ne'ensu. In a case where he claims that there was an ones. In a case where he claims an ones, then you have a shvuah without modu miksat. So the Riva says that, true, the demand for modu miksat only applies by milveh, or pikadon that looks like milveh. When does pikadon look like milveh? That's when it has the same claims that you could have by a milveh. What's a unique claim to shomrim? The unique claim to shomrim is nansu, where he says Nanas, because in the claim of Nanas, the other party can never know the truth. Meaning that there he's Meyuz Meyuz. There he will be no problem lying, because the other party has no way to deny the claim of Nansu. He wasn't standing there, he wasn't around, so he can't make the denial. So over there, when it's Nansu, we make a demand of him to take a Shvuah, even without Modu Miksat. That's the position of the Riva. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, believes, no. When it says in the Gemara that Eruv Parshiot Ketivtan, that Irapashiot means that not only does it apply to Shomrim, it also applies to Milveh. And based on that, the Rabbeinu Tam believes that in order to be Chayav Shvat to Shomrim and to be Chayav Shvat by a Milveh, you need Modu B'miktzat. And therefore, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, this whole Gemara here, and even Rami Bar Chama, is going according to the position of Irapashiot over here. He believes that the whole Sugya here is based on Irapashiot here, which is there's a demand for Modu B'miktzat, both by a Milveh and by Yoshomer. And that's why the sugya reads, according to Rabbeinu Tam, reads very nicely. According to the Riva is going to have to explain that the case here, that even though for the Shavuah of Meta Kedarka, which is the Tana of Ones, then you don't need Hodah, then he'd have to take that Shavuah anyway. Mikom Makom. Nevertheless, Mashatoin Eina Yodeya Im Shulah Shchura Dainu Kfira by Hodah. For that denial, in order to be Chayav, he needs a Moda B'miktzat. And he goes here and says it in the Mishnah over here. Says you can't use Gilgul Shvuah in this case, as explained in the Mishnah. According to the Riva, so the need for multiple parim here is not to do with a Nansu, where the Shomer will have to take the Shvuah, but it has to do with a Kfirah, the Eni Yodea part, which as opposed to Rashi, Tosfos used as a kfirah, as a denial. In order to have it to be a denial, you also need a modeh b'miksas. You need actually a admission. So in order to be chayav, to take a shvuah on that part that he says maybe, he needs the modeh b'miksas. And that's how the Riva learns it. On the other hand, the Rabbeinu Tam says no. Rabbeinu Tam says no problem. Why? Because I demand modeh b'miksas in any case of shvuat shomrim. So every case here, I have to come up with a explanation of modeh miksat in order to be mechayev even a simple shvat hashomrim. In order to be chayev in shvat hashomrim, I need modeh miksat, and that's what the Gemara is after over here. It's trying to find those modeh miksat in order to be chayev in shvat hashomrim. And the reason that Rabbi Bar Chama demands an extra animal over here is because what the Rabbeinu Tam explains to the Gemara Bar Chama is that he demands modeh miksat plus the shvuah that's demanded by the shomrim, that he needs all of them. He needs the nansu, and he needs a modeh miksat. In order to be chayav as a shvuat shomrim, you need all three items. In order to get all three items, you need multiple animals. You need three animals or four animals instead of the two or the three. According to the way they learn in the first place, we just say simply if you have modeh miksat, that's enough to demand a shvuah out of the shomer. Whereas according to Rabbi Bar Chama, that's not enough. Modeh miksat is not sufficient. When it says kiuzeh, it means both. You need modeh miksat and you need the shvuat shomrim. You need nansu, and one animal can't function. That's what Tosfos points out. Can't function in both places. It can't be both. The one that he says eni odeya is also the one that is the nansu, because they gzirat hakatuv. Tosfos says that they can't function in both ways. So therefore, you need multiple animals: one for the nansu, one for the modeh miksat, and one for the kfira b'miksat. The problem for the position of the Rabbeinu Tam is the Gemara that we just read. The Gemara that we just read seems to indicate that, number one, there is Gilgul Shvu'ah, and that Gilgul Shvu'ah seems to indicate that we don't demand modeh miksat in order to let the shomer be chayav, because we said simply there that he's taking a shvu'ah about meita kedarka, and we don't make any demand that he has modeh miksat. So you have to say, in the end, the Rabbeinu Tam is forced to say that the shvuah that we just spoke about in this last piece of the Gemara is a shvuah de Rabbanan, that it was ba'ones. And that's not a shvuah min a Torah of shvuat ha-shomrim that made the kedarka, but simply it's a shvuah min de Rabbanan that the Rabbanan imposed before there was a din of shvuat ha-seit. For any denial, they had this other din that a shvuat ones, that a shomer should take a shvuat ones, even without a case of modeh b'miktzat. Right, just a little refresher on the Gemara, the machlokes that we had between the Riva, the Rabbeinu Tam, and Rashi, and the Gemara in Baba Kamel. Okay, now the Gemara continues, and it has an interesting question. Each one of them says, I don't know. So then we say, Yachloku. So Gemara says, Hamani, who's the author of our mission, as we discussed until now? Sumchusi. It's got to be Sumchus. When there's a doubt about any monetary disagreements, then we're Cholek. We divide the money up. So by Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel, Rabbi Abba has a question. Sheila b'balim. Originally, he borrowed the animal with the balim present. Then, afterwards, in the middle of this process, before the Sheila ends, he says, Sachra shlo b'balim. He goes on and says, I'm not going to return it to you. I want to continue to use this animal, but I will rent it from you. So we'll transfer the borrowing into being a schirut, into being a rental at this point, but the balim are not present when the rental takes place. Mao, what's the din? Mi amrina and sheila l'chuda kaima, schirut l'chuda kaima. Do we say there are two independent transactions here? There was one transaction, which was the borrowing, and now there's a separate transaction, which is called the schirut, which is the rental. Oh, Dilma, maybe look at schirut b'sheila meshach shaychi. Maybe we can say that schirut is all encompassed by sheila. Because anything that a socher is chayav for, then a shoel is certainly chayav for. So what you've basically done is that you've struck an agreement at the beginning that I borrowed from you an animal bibalim. Now, when I flip that into a rental, what I'm basically saying is, yes, we're continuing the relationship we have, but I'm just giving you exemptions on sort of the chiyuvim that you had before. True, before you were chayav in onsin, but now I'm going to say you don't have to pay for onsin because I'm basically being mamshich. I'm continuing the original transaction we have, but I'm just changing some of the terms. I'm giving you a buy on some of the obligations that you had before. So Gemara says, well, imtim salomar, if you want to say that schira b'sheila meshach shaychi, that schirut is really an extension of sheila, meaning that it's a sheila with some pturim in it, then sachra b'balim, what happens if it's the other way around? That he rented it originally with the balim present. And then afterwards, at the point when the schirut, the rental, was going to terminate, he continues to use it and he says, but I'll borrow it from that point. Shallah below balim. But at that point, he borrows it without the balim being present. Mao, what's the din now? Shela b'schirut vaday lo shaychi. There, it's clear that he's upgrading his obligations. Before, by schirut, he wasn't chayv in onsin. Now he's obligating himself in onsin. You need a separate kinyan. You need a separate transaction in order to create those obligations. sins. So if that's the case, then certainly we started afresh. If we started afresh, then there's no sheila with balim. Oh, Dilmore, maybe came into sheikh b'miktzat, but maybe because there is some overlap between them, command the sheikh b'kuludami. That truthfully, even though when you move from Skirut to Sheila, true, you're upgraded, now you're going to be Chayvin on sin. But beforehand, you were Chayvin Gneva Aveda, and now you're Chayvin Gneva Aveda. So what you could say, truthfully, is that anytime you come into a relationship, you're really Chayav for everything. Then, because you establish that you're a Socher, that gives you the ability to be patur on certain items. That gives you the ability to say, look, I'm not obligated to pay for own sin because of my relationship as a schirut. Technically, I'm chayv in everything. But then, once the schirut terminates, and then you roll that into sheila, that patur goes away. It disappears. And since that patur goes away, it's a continuation. It's as if the first kinyan is still shayach now. It's still continuing what we have over here. Or again, the other side is, no, that Skirut and Sheila stand independently, and even if you agree that Sheila can be turned into Skirut, because Skirut is a subset of the obligations of Sheila, maybe the other way around, you can't do it. Moving from Skirut to Sheila, that you can't do, because Sheila has many more obligations than that of Skirut. Now we're going to go with the Gemara the way it's written now, which is the Girsa of Rashi. Rashi's Girsa is Imtim Solomar Lo Amrinon. If you say we don't say Kevin the Sheikh b'Miktzat Command the Sheikh b'Kuludami, meaning that though you are able to move from rent, from borrowing to a rental, because that's a subset. Nevertheless, you can't move from a rental to borrowing because that's an upgrading of your obligations. So if we say that that's the case, you can't upgrade your obligations. Now, what happens in a case? Sheila b'balim, he borrowed it first, v'sachra shelo b'balim, and then he rented it out without the balim payment, v'chazer v'shalom, and then again he went back and he borrowed it again. Mahu. What do we say? Hadar atyala sheila d'duchta, the sheila go back to its original status, odilma ipsikalei schirut beni beni, or maybe the rental in between causes some sort of hepsek, some sort of division between the two sheilot. Again, we said before, you can move from sheila to schirut. So that'll be permitted over here. Sheila to schirut will work, and it'll be classified as if it's still with the balim. But now what you did is, after the schirut, you flipped it back to sheila again. Now, what's the din? According to Rashi, Rashi says, wait, when do we look at this final sheila? Do we look at it as it being connected to the original borrowing, mean that it all references back to the original kinyan, or do we say no? Because had it been schirut first and then sheila, you cannot have a continuum because that's an upgrading of obligation. So here, where you went from sheila to schirut and then back to sheila, that's like moving from one to the next and then back again. When you move back again, you can't move from the schirut to sheila, and it won't work. So that would be the question going to Rashi. The problem, Rashi's pshat, or the way Rashi changes the gear, says this final question. The final question is obvious what the answer is, and this is Tosa's question on Rashi, is sachra b'balim, if he rented it with the balim, visha'ala, and then afterwards he let them borrow it, because of a sachra, and then he went back and rented it, mahu, what's the din? Mi amrinan atyala schirut l'duchta, do we say schirut goes back to its original status? Odilma ifsakele sheila benu beni, maybe the sheila interrupts in between. Though it says, what's the question over here? The sheila, we know already, the Gemara already came to conclusion, according to Rashi, that when you move from schirut to sheila, you've terminated the original kinyan. So now all of a sudden, when you go back to renting, how could you reinvigor the original kinyan? You already have a new kinyan for this, the sheila that came after the schirut. So that last schirut, how is it going to relate back to the first schirut? So according to Tosfos, it says, according to Rashi, what's the question over here at all, according to the way Rashi changed the girsa? What you have to say, what Tosfos rejects, is possibly that this fourth question is actually in the reverse. If you say, Imtim Saloma, if you do say it works, if you do say that you're able to move from schirut to sheila, then can you go back to schirut afterwards? One possibility of the question according to Rashi, or the other possibility according to Rashi, is that maybe by bringing the schura back in the end, that allows you to be somech on the original kinyan, even though you had a sheila that's must be in between. Maybe you can rely on the original kinyan somehow. The Gemara leaves all of these things teku as unanswered questions. Now, Tosfos' question on Rashi leads him to reverse the girsa of Rashi. Rashi actually changed the girsa in the Gemara. Rashi had a different girsa in the Gemara and he wiped it out. And Tosfos says, I think the original girsa is right. And that's, instead of saying imtim somar lo amrinan, that we don't say that you can move from schirut to sheila, but rather say amrinan. If we say kevin de sheikh mitzvah command de sheikh b'kuladam, that you can move. If you have originally a schirut bivalim, then you move to sheila, borrowing without the balim, that will still continue the original kinyan, and it will be classified as if it was done with the balim. Now, according to why Rashi rejected this question, obviously, is then what's the Gemara's question afterwards? Why does the Gemara have any question at all? Meaning, if you're allowed to move from sheila to schirut, and you're allowed to move from schirut to sheila, then why should it matter? Well, then the Gemara's following questions of what's in between. You have a schirut in between, a sheila in between. way, none of it should matter because you should be able to move from all of them. So that's clearly why Rashi says, I can't explain the Gemara according to that Girsa. So Rashi changed the Girsa. But Tosfos says, no, I'll explain to you the Gemara according to that Girsa. So I will read you the Tosfos. It's down in the first set of wide lines in the Tosfos. It's four lines up. He says, Aval, im tim tzalamar demar bi baile, im chazra shela duchta, because the Sheila connects to the rental before it, and we're saying, yes, that does work. If the Schirut itself was done by Balim, Hashanami, Shalonase Balim, when it's not done without the Balim, Lo Havi Hefsik. So that should not be an interruption, Bahadra the Duchta. And we say it goes back to the original state. O Dilmar, may we say Lo Hadra, it doesn't go back. Kevin Shila, since he lent it out, Eni Yacholit Chaber Meschirut Lufanah, you can't connect back to the original Schirut. To say that it came from its power, Sheila Bebalim, Mishum de Schirut Atzma Lo Nase Bebalim, El Mishum de Shaycha Besheila. Schirut itself never got any power in of itself. It only came from the previous Kenyan that was made there. Betray Shaychi Lo Amrinan. We don't say twice that you rely on the original Kenyan. And the fourth question is the same as the third question, just to ask in the opposite order. And he says, if we answer one of those questions, we'll answer both of them. And the Gemara leaves it to Teku. So according to Tosfos, the question is not about. The Gemara now came to the conclusion that either way you can be a sim. If you started with a schirut, or you started the Sheila with Balim, and then you changed it to the opposite, that would work and it would be classified. Even though the Balim are not present when you changed over to either Sheila or changed over to schirut, nevertheless, it's considered as if it was done bi ba'alim. That the Gemara has concluded. What's the Gemara's question now? Gemara's question is, when you have three stages, you either, let's say, for instance, you started with Sheila, you started with a borrowing, then you moved to a Schirut. So you borrowed with the Balim there, you did a Schirut afterwards without the Balim. So the Gemara says, that's fine. That's considered as if Schirut bi ba'alim, because it's relying on the original Kenyan. So now Tosa says, okay, how do we look at this middle schirut now? This middle schirut, does this middle schirut now become schirut bebalim? Because it's relying on the original Kenyan, it's as if it became schirut bebalim. And now when we have a Sheila afterwards, a third transaction, it will rely on the schirut, meaning that it'll rely on the schirut bebalim. And therefore, the final Sheila will also be classified as Bibalim. Or do we say no? The Schirut, that middle Schirut, can rely on the first Sheila because it's right next to it. It's one Shaykh. We say once, you can move a transaction once and still say it relies on the original Kenyan. But now, when you're trying to move it again, that you can't say, Tri Sheikh Lo Aminim. We don't say then, because the middle case of Schirut, that Kenyan was relying on the Sheila, but it's still by itself right now. It's Schirut without Balim, and the Sheila that's after it rests. It can rely on the Kenyan of the Schirut, but it can't rely on the original Kenyan of the Sheila because that's two stages beforehand. And therefore, what we're looking at now is a Schirut Shelo Bebalim, and that final Sheila will be a Sheila without Balim. So that's the question of the Gemara according to Tosavot, that the Gemara has now accepted the fact that you can move Sheila to Schirut, or Schirut to Sheila. The question now is, can you do that over two transactions? Is it only one transaction that it works over? Or even an additional transaction, can you continue to say it's still relying on the original transaction, the Balim in the original transaction? Okay, we'll stop over here.